Many of you know me, but I don't know if you know my story, so I'm going to share a little bit about that and weave it together with some inward grace. My faith journey started attending a Southern Baptist church with my uber-Christian grandmother, Lois. So my roots are fire and brimstone, submission of the wife to the husband, the devil put dinosaur bones here to make us not believe in God, and Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. I've continued to honor the most important part of my upbringing from Southern Baptist is the potluck. My freshman year of college, a dear friend died in a car accident. Suddenly, the God that I grew up with didn't compute. The benevolent father who punished the evil and blessed the good was kind of like a square peg in a round hole. College ensued, and when my mother was diagnosed with cancer for the first time, it also bolstered the belief that there was no God. I sat that mental discussion on a shelf and traded it for a bong and a beer. 4 years later, when my mother was diagnosed with cancer for the third time in the same area called breast cancer, where there was no breast, she received all kinds of options, and she went with alternative ones. By this time, I had graduated from SIUE with a degree in mass communications, specializing in radio and TV, and I was a morning show host of an oldies radio station. I loved my job, but I hated myself and my life. I walked through the fire with my mother that year as she experienced all things alternative. Crystals, meditation, massage, coffee enemas, chiropractic, chanting, yoga, Chinese herbs, acupuncture, healing touch, visiting naturopathic doctors. Immune system building was the key. She didn't pump her own gas. She didn't use paper towels. Anything she ate out of or drank out of was glass, not plastic. So any quirky thing you've heard about immune system building, she did it. She was the poster child for positive vibrations and presence. We met Wayne Dyer. We listened to Eckhart Tolle and Deepak Chopra. My mother even traveled to Brazil to meet John of God. It was during this year of rainbows that I took a Reiki class and realized that these hands have a purpose. Now, disclaimer to all the naysayers of alternative therapy, everyone's path is different, and I respect whatever that may be. This isn't a discussion or a promotion of alternative therapies. I'm just speaking of my journey. My mother died the week before Christmas, and I was lost. Attempting to do my normal spiel on the radio, hey, it's 85 degrees and it's 4:55, here's the Doobie Brothers, seemed very empty and hollow and meaningless. The relationship I was in made me realize you can't love someone enough to love themselves. And that year I also learned that you can have a deep healing and still die. 6 months after I wrote my mother's obituary, I quit my job. I broke up with aforementioned tortured soul that I thought I could fix and moved back to St. Louis, attending a Gathering Place massage school. When I walked through the doors into the open arms of the head instructor and owner and my mentor, Cindy Goodnetter, I read behind her a quote on a poster that she had written. Anyone can learn to rub sore muscles, but not everyone can learn to touch someone's heart. That is what my hope today is, my dear fellow seekers, is to touch your heart in a deeply profound way by talking about resilience, compassion, and the inward grace of our bodies. That's a good quote. I cried the first time I read it, too. I'm like, oh, I'm in the right place. So when I began my first anatomy class, I found God again. I use quotes because I know that word can be triggering to people who have spiritual abuse in their life. My feelings have shifted and are best described in a quote from a book I'm reading right now called Soul on Earth, A Guide to Living and Loving Your Human Life, written by Ruth Schwartz, as follows. Some people resonate with traditional religious terms like God, angels, or archangels. Some prefer non-religious language like the universe, source, all that is. Some feel at home with the language of shamanism, so spirit guides, helping spirits, power animals. Some coin their own terms like higher self, inner guide, guide, or guidance. Some feel most comfortable with a simple phrase like larger self. Personally, I like all of these. Although none of them feels exactly right or complete to me, language is shorthand. It cannot fully encompass reality, but gives us ways of pointing towards it. That quote from that book is why I love this church. We gather together in the mystery of the hour, asking, where do we come from? and where are we going? To me, it isn't God as I had known as a child, it's the mystery. The mystery I found in the human body and the faith that I have in its ability to heal itself. So, when preparing for this sermon today, I looked up grace on the internet. Lisa's not here, Lisa Strangeman, but I was going to tell her I didn't do the spelling in this. When searching for it, I found this slide, and I thought it was very appropriate. To me, these three definitions all point back to the beauty and the mystery of the human body. So number one, let's just go through, love, kindness, and goodwill towards one another. Back in the late 19th century, a German scientist named George Schmorl made a remarkable discovery. Cells from a baby can hide out in a mother's body after birth. 100 years later, we are still discovering what those cells are doing. And in a study done in 2007, fetuses were shown to transmit stem cells to their mothers in order to repair cellular tissue. We come in with compassion. We are here to heal and care for one another. Number two, divine factor towards man, the underserving kindness or forgiveness of God, divine love or pardon. Do you have any idea how hard your body works to maintain homeostasis? To make sure your eyes are level with the horizon, to make sure your blood is pumping, that your lymphatic system is getting rid of waste, to make sure that all these things are happening in your body with you completely unaware of it. The things we have control of are our diet and our thoughts. And all these autonomic functions are happening constantly. A piece of liver regrows into a functional organ. You only need one kidney if you really come down to it. And if that's not forgiveness, if that's not grace, and if that's not the connection of my belief in God and the mystery, I don't know what is. Number three, of course, the physical movement of your body, the pumping of your blood, the elegance of our nervous system, and the beauty of you. Just look in a mirror. It's mind-blowing. Grace, no matter what you do or say, there's no way I don't see each and every one of you in grace with every breath and every movement that you make, every level of mobility. It's beautiful and grace-filled. You are beautiful and resilient. And I'd like to share this video from the Heart Math Institute. You know, I always come with the videos, so I don't have to talk so much. So enjoy.
The importance of resilience. Most people want to have more energy at the end of the day. How much resilience we have plays a big role in that. Resilience commonly is thought of as the ability to bounce back after a challenging situation, but a newer and broader definition has emerged. HeartMath defines resilience as the capacity to prepare for, recover from, and adapt in the face of stress, adversity, or challenge. When you are resilient, not only can you bounce back faster after challenging situations, but you also have more ability to avoid getting in those situations in the first place. Now that's energy efficient. Being resilient is like having a fully charged inner battery. You have greater capacity and ability to remain calm, think clearly, and be in control of your mind and emotions. You can roll with the punches more easily and flow through challenges, like a surfer skillfully riding a big wave rather than getting wiped out. His inner poise and balance help him succeed. There are four primary areas of resilience: physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. We expend and renew energy in each area every day. If we have low energy in one area, it can affect the others. It is the emotional area where most people drain their inner batteries unnecessarily and waste energy. You can build and sustain your resilience by learning and using energy management skills. With practice, you'll increase your resilience and have more energy reserves when you need it most, such as maintaining your cool or ability to focus when too much activity and information is coming your way too fast. In other words, the greater your resilience capacity, the greater your ability to maintain your composure and stay in charge of your emotions and actions. A more scientific term for this is self-regulation. As it turns out, there's a direct connection between what the heart is doing and our ability to self-regulate. The heart rate of a healthy, resilient person actually changes with every heartbeat. This is called heart rate variability, or HRV. HRV is influenced by our emotions. You can actually see if you're draining or renewing your energy and self-regulation capacity by looking at the pattern of HRV, your heart rhythms. Emotions such as frustration, impatience, and anxiety deplete our energy reserves and show up on a computer monitor as an irregular, disorganized HRV pattern. Scientists refer to this type of heart rhythm pattern as being incoherent, a sign that the brain and nervous system are out of sync. This is like driving a car with one foot on the accelerator and the other foot on the brake at the same time. Who would want to do that? It makes for a very jerky car ride, wastes gas, and puts extra wear and tear on a car. On the other hand, renewing emotions like appreciation, courage, and compassion create a more ordered, harmonious pattern, indicating the brain and nervous system are more in sync. Scientists call this a coherent heart rhythm. When you are in a coherent state, you are increasing your resilience and ability to manage yourself. That adds energy to your inner battery. Here's the bottom line. Scientifically speaking, when we are in a coherent state, the neural signals the heart sends to the brain improve the functioning of brain centers involved in decision-making, creativity, and how we perform. No wonder so many elite athletes, military and law enforcement personnel, and others want to get into a coherent state these days. Practicing HeartMath's resilience-building tools and technologies helps stop energy drain and builds up our energy reserves and resilience. It's what HeartMath calls intelligent energy management.
HeartMath, you can check that out online. They've got a lot of exercises on there. So, the state of our nation needs you at your best. We need to be focused, ready to make decisions, ready to make the world a better place. So as we continue to bob and weave through daily attacks, we must strengthen ourselves. Being angry and taking action are necessary, but don't burn yourself out. So how can we work on coherence, like they talked about? Well, the first way is to tune into your breathing. By paying attention to your breath, you are increasing your vagal tone. What's vagal tone, Casey? I know you guys didn't get a chance to look it up, so I'll tell you. If I can get this guy.
The importance of
resilience. Kidding, we're not listening to it. There we go. Vagal tone, it refers to the vagus nerve. The vagus nerve is the longest nerve in the body, which originates in the brain. It is cranial nerve number 10. It travels down from your neck, passes through your heart and lungs, around your digestive system, liver, spleen, and pancreas. This nerve is a major player in the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the rest and digest part, which is the opposite of the sympathetic nervous system you may have heard of, fight or flight. The tone of your vagus nerve is key to activating the parasympathetic nervous system. Vagal tone is measured by tracking your heart rate alongside your breathing rate. Your heart rate speeds up a little when you breathe in and slows down a little when you breathe out. The bigger the difference between your inhalation heart rate and your exhalation heart rate is your vagal tone. It also raises it. Higher vagal tone means your body can relax faster after stress. Talking again about that resilience. High vagal tone improves the function of many body systems. The higher the vagal tone, the more associated with better mood, less anxiety, and more stress resilience. So here are some ways to tone your vagus nerve. Number one, my favorite, slow rhythmic diaphragmatic breathing. So breathing from your diaphragm rather than the shallow part of your top of your lungs. So if you find yourself asking these tiny neck muscles and tiny chest muscles to raise up your rib cage instead of opening it from the bottom, this causes stress. It also causes this to happen. So big diaphragmatic breathing changes your life, changes the world. Humming is the other one. Since the vagus nerve is connected to your vocal cords, humming mechanically stimulates it. So you can hum a song, or even better, you can repeat Om. Meditation. Loving kindness meditation promotes feelings of goodwill towards yourself and others. And in a study done in 2010 by Barbara Fredrickson and Bethany Kick, found that increasing positive emotions led to increased social closeness and an improvement in vagal tone. Balancing the gut microbiome, the presence of healthy bacteria in your gut creates a positive feedback loop through which the vagus nerve increases its tone. And last but not least, my favorite, laughing and smiling. Smiling doesn't just increase your face value, it also raises your vagal tone. You are a beautiful skin sack, all of you. Never let anybody tell you different. I appreciate your attention today. You are valuable, you matter, and we need you to make this world a better place. Now, Lauren, would you like to join us? Lauren's gonna give us some special music before we do our benediction. Thank you so much, Lauren. That was a song from my favorite artist, Amy Steinberg, that Lauren learned this week just for us. So thank you so much. That was beautiful. Our closing words and benediction are adapted from Ma Teresa Castillo Gallardo. Ultimate grace, the heart of every matter, in every perfection and imperfection, in all senses and tenses, in moments of every right and wrong, presenting choices to inquiring hearts. You are in the purpose and the journey of mishaps. You are in moments of understanding and misunderstanding. We have but to seek and invoke you and enable the work of your spirit. As prayer is but an articulated common dream, we invoke our ultimate concern for the work of faith. We long to be hand in hand, creating a world where everyone belongs. Free us from our hindrances. Make invisible things visible, the voiceless heard. Lay what is hidden before us. Make the chain unbound, the doubting believe. What is confusing, let clarify. As hardened hearts grow soft to the touch, may we come in fullness with gratefulness and faithfulness to one another. May we speak in kind, conversing, disclosing our truths with care, expressing our practical wisdom to learn of its practical limits. For the world was not meant to be possessed by a singular truth, but to be built together upon revelations. May our eyes seek to appreciate, our breaths to dedicate power, our hands to warm each other. When loving fearlessly, we are invincible. When free will is deliberate, we are pivotal. When dreaming together, we are infinite. Remind us of the very questions that we have turned away from, that we thought could be answered, could not be answered, or impossible to realize. Dear universal intelligence, your embrace contains everything but confines nothing. In the ever instance of existence, may this one moment count. And so it is.